You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my new friend, Clarissa. Now, I do want to give you a little heads up about the audio in this episode. There are actually two things. First of all, there was tree work. There is tree work happening outside where I record the podcast. And I don't know if you'll hear the zoom, 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 zoom of the chainsaws, but it was actually a thing going on at the time. I actually don't think that it will impact the interview itself, the conversation. But when I went in to record this, the introduction, I have been like trying to time it in between the noisy times during the quiet times. Anyway, that happened. More important, you should know that Clarissa sometimes speaks softly. And so I've boosted her audio a little bit to make it easier for you to hear. But this is a part of the story today, and I assure you that it's worth it. So now all those things being laid out for you today, before we get started, let's go ahead and do it. Let's do the thing. Clarissa Castillo Ramsey, welcome to Imperfect Adulting.
Amy, I'm so excited to be here.
I am too. I'm very happy you're here with me today. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I'm so ready.
That is so good. All right. So let's begin at the beginning. Your name is Clarissa, but if you would do me a favor and share with the audience, what part of the world do you call home?
Currently, I'm in Altadena, California.
Ah, nice.
So Southern California.
Southern California. One of my favorite places. I'm on the other coast. I live in Miami.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. So now, have you all, it does not sound like you have always lived there.
Oh gosh, no. I have lived in several different places. I was born in Detroit, grew up in Texas. By the time I was 18, and I grew up in a very small town. By the time I was 18, I was like, I have got to get out of here and just see more of the world, right? Or at least the United States. So I lived in Boston for 6 years, and that's where I did my undergrad. Got sick of the snow and moved out west to California. And I've been here ever since.
That's very similar to how I ended up in Miami. I used to have a joke. So I moved here right after college. And somebody that was in the guy I was dating at the time was like, do you want to move to Miami? And I was like, I was living in France, and it was very, very cold. Yes. And I was like, when is the next flight? And my joke used to be that, you know, 200 years ago, we didn't know that if you went south, it would get warmer, but now we do. So I'm always
right.
I'm always confused when I meet people who are like, oh, I live in, you know, these, but, and I know that there are people who really, really very much enjoy the snow. I get to spend a little bit of time every year right now in Detroit, which is, you probably have not, I mean, you were born there. I don't know how often you go back. It's such a cool place.
It's
right
been
now.
A while. It's yeah. been a really long time. That's cool to hear. And I've yeah. heard that too.
Yeah,
I mean, think I have everybody has moved out. Yeah, everybody's
yeah.
moved out, but it would be nice to just go back to visit.
So I had not been there like ever until recently. So I have no history there. But now, I mean, and you can tell that they raised, I think they really sort of demolished a lot of the stuff that needed to be cleared out, a lot of space. But what's
yes.
left is the very, very cool architecture. You know, and the very, very,
awesome.
Like, so it's, and it's very cool. So it is a challenge to my understanding of geography every time I'm there, because it's so close to Canada and it's so close to New York. And I'm like, how is that possible? But it is.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's right there. All right. I have one more warm-up question. And this is just to help create connection between and rapport before we dive into tougher
yes.
things. Tell us as much or as little as you want to about your family, the people you live with, all of those kind of things.
Yeah, great question. And thanks for asking. So I'm married, no kids, and I love where I live. I truly love where I live. I live right up against the mountains, the San Gabriel Mountains, for people who are familiar with the area. Not today. We actually have high, high, high winds, but I'm thankful I live near NASA, JPL, because I doubt they would shut off their power. So I feel kind of lucky that I live right close to them because there's rolling blackouts today. But knock
Ah.
on wood, like we're cool. The wind has stopped blowing. It started going crazy, literally like at 3 in the morning. I was like woken up by, okay, it must be the Santa Ana winds. And but anyway, I love living here. My brother's also close by, so and my cousin, so it's nice. I've got family. And I'm also an artist. So I'm steeped deep in our artist community. And what else can I share? Published author.
Very nice.
I wrote a chapter in a book called Radical Freedom that came out last year, 2024. And it hit international best-selling books.
That's very cool.
There were 102 authors in this particular book. And I wrote all about this journey with my vocal condition. And it was also really cathartic. So I think there's going to be a continuation, a deeper dive into that. Maybe by the end of this year, we'll see.
That is so cool. All right, so very good. I am excited to have this conversation with you today. And to be fair, I only have a teeny tiny little bit of information to go on to start, right? So when I was putting together the interview questions, I have the little tiny, teeny, tiny, tiny bit of information, which actually I have to say happens all the time. So this is not like a hardship. So this is not a hardship. This is a thing. What I know about the start of the story, and the audience and the people who are listening probably are picking up little pieces of it because there is an auditory clue. But in 2023, we're recording this at the start of 2025. So in 2023, you had an event that was planned where you were a speaker. You were scheduled to be a speaker, and that didn't go as planned. So go ahead and take us through, if you don't mind, what happened.
So I was so excited to be part of the speaker panel. This event was all in celebration of International Women's Day. This was like a
Okay.
March event in 2023. And I was on a panel with some amazing women talking about leadership, just being a woman entrepreneur. What does that mean? And how do we take care of ourselves? So a topic that I'm so like all of those topics I'm super excited to talk about. So, but I did notice like my voice was kind of getting a little dry and I wasn't sick, but as the facilitator was asking questions, she came to me. I can't remember what she asked, but a whisper came out of my mouth.
Oh.
Like, this is like 100 times louder than how it was on the stage. And thankfully, I had a really good working microphone because, by the end of that event, people were coming up to me saying, thank you for sharing your story. So I thought, phew, at least they could hear me. Yeah. What a shock to not be able to verbalize. And I'm also a transformational coach. I'm a podcaster as well. So my voice is very much part of my identity. And when that happened, I was like, what is going on?
So, but at first, when this first happened, I mean, did you think that you maybe just had a case of laryngitis or strep throat was coming, or it was dry in the hotel, or, allergies?
And I had just like gotten cleared from a cold that I had like January,
Oh, so yeah. So you probably were just like, oh, I'm not actually over this. Right. I
Yeah,
thought
so
I was better, but I'm not.
that came through my mind too. Like, okay, well, I guess I still have stuff that's lingering.
Yeah. Would you describe yourself as an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm introspective for sure.
Okay.
I'm more on the introverted side, but I can only take so much of my own company, and I need to be with people. So,
Yeah. A lot of people who are entrepreneurs are introverts. I actually am an extrovert. And so every time it happens to me where I get a a sore throat or I lose my voice, I am in my own little, container of misery
Eight.
because I feel cut off. And to the point where, like, if I do something where I can't talk to people for a while, whatever it might be, if I'm, well, in the modern days, like if I'm home doing working on stuff by myself all day long and I don't actually interact with people past Zoom, if I go for a walk in the afternoon, I will start talking to strangers or like pets on the street.
Yeah.
Like
Yep.
I'm like such a weirdo. It is a huge part of how we interact with other people, right? And so this was definitely unexpected, but I think, everybody, and there's probably nobody that's listening who hasn't had a moment in their life where they haven't, lost their voice or had a cold where they had to, they lost that. But it was unexpected at first. When did you re begin? How did you begin to realize that it was something more than a temporary one-off?
I couldn't talk, and I've had sore throats before. I've had laryngitis before, and I just thought, this is weird. I know, and I do yoga. I've done yoga for like 30 plus years, so I know what it's like to talk and to breathe. And you don't even think about talking, you just talk.
Right.
Well, I noticed something odd happening in my body. And when I'm at my worst, where you can't even hear me, it is almost impossible to talk and breathe. So I thought, okay, this is really freaking weird. I think it might be time to go to the doctor. So I drug my feet. I went to the doctor late April and got diagnosed with something I had never heard before, spasmodic dysphonia.
Yeah.
And they put, it was crazy. Like I had to do a test just saying words, and it was super hard to say vowels. And they put a scope through my nose to check out my vocal cords, and I could literally see my vocal cords spasming.
Oh.
It was such a trip. There's nothing wrong with the cords. They just like spasm as I was talking, and I was like, "What the hell is going on here? Help me out, ladies."
So, if there is an upside to this, it is that you got a diagnosis very quickly.
Yes,
Okay,
so I
that
could tell
is.
at least what was going on.
All right, so the words are spasmodic dysphonia. I know there's two pretty famous people who have this. Diane Reams, the broadcaster. I don't know if she's like still on the air. And more contemporarily, RFK Jr. Also has
Yes.
this. So it's got, and we actually
Yes.
have, there's somebody who's a local politician in Miami, Cindy Lerner, who has gone through this diagnosis in the past like 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
And so people might recognize some of the pitch and the sound because it is, I think it's distinctive.
Yeah,
I think
it's
it's
very
distinctive.
distinctive. Yes.
All right, so what was your life like? Give us a sample, then we're going to talk about how this impacted your life. But in order to do that, take us back to like before the speech. Like, what was your life kind of like before? You're an entrepreneur. You have a, yeah, so
Yes.
all these things. So what was your life kind of like before you got this diagnosis?
So I left my corporate job mid 2021, and
Okay.
I just hit the ground running. And I had some pretty nice success from the get-go during the pandemic. And I actually started working with my coach in the fall of 2020 to kind of just ramp myself up for leaving a very cushy six-figure job. And I hit the ground running. And I was doing all these things, events, master classes. I started my podcast in 2022. Coaching, group coaching, one-on-one coaching. So honestly, I was talking a lot more than I did at my day job. And so that was happening. And I was pretty happy, like when I started. However, by the end of 2022, which is, not so long of a time, I started to feel a little bit drained.
Okay.
And I was doing four summits a year when one of my speakers, who we were supposed to go live together, said, "Clarissa, are you sure you want to go live right now? You do not look well." And I was like, "What? The
Thanks for
show
the
has to go
compliment.
on. The show has to go on." And so I was like, I'll power through it, right? Because that's what I did during my corporate days. And that was just my work ethic. So let me just power through. And that was the fall of 2022. Early 2023 is when I got sick. And when I said, okay, maybe that's a sign I need to slow down. I know what burnout is like. Uh-oh, here it is again. And so that's kind of like the events that led up to this.
So that's well, so I never know that I've been burnt out until I'm all the way in it. Like, so
Right. Yeah.
you're better than I am if you can pick it up then. All right. So, I don't want to ask a lot of very specific stuff about the
Sure.
condition because I want to talk to you about like you. But is it something that is related to, is the diagnosis at all related to the burnout or the virus or anything like that? Is
It
that
is, the jury's out.
okay.
Like they say, it's typically happens with women,
Okay. Our
like
kid
in their
junior's lucky.
yeah, right? Midlife and beyond. It's usually happens with a stressful situation.
Okay.
And so I think, that my speaker telling me, Clarissa, you don't look so good. I think it was the beginning to that. I didn't listen. And also coming off of like a cold or
Yeah.
getting sick. And they also say it could be hereditary, but there's
Okay.
nobody in my family who has this. So, and who knows if the virus,
Yeah.
or vaccinations causes this. Like, I feel like anything's possible.
Right. No, yeah, that's we never know. I have a knee-jerk reaction whenever like people are like, this is because you ate a lemon seed when
Sure.
you were five, and I'm like, how
Totally.
do we know?
Yeah, we don't know. We
And
don't know.
I'm old enough that I grew up in like the 70s and 80s when there was like so many things. I'm like, oh, there's so many things that have like the list is long.
And I'm
So,
still here.
all right, exactly, still here. So based on your experience, what is okay? So this is fairly recent. So 2023, you've been living with this for about a year and a half.
Yes.
And so what is something based on your experience of it? It's something that some people have probably heard of, other people have not. I don't know exactly when I heard of it, but I'm one of those people that I stockpile random pieces of trivia. So
Yes.
what is one thing that you do wish or it would be helpful to you if people did know about this, more people knew about this condition of spasmodic dysphonia, which is so much fun to say. Probably much more fun to say than it is to have.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure. I just want people to know, like, because so many people have come up to me and said, "Is this because of stress? Is this because of stress?" And I just feel like, you know what? That just stresses me out. So I have a feeling I'm not alone with that.
Okay, yeah.
Understand people's concerns, but it's also a neurological problem. So this is something like that I learned really late, with this diagnosis in 2023. I spent most of that year whispering, because when I whispered, that's when people could hear me.
Sure.
I started doing vocal therapy last year for a period of time, and my vocal therapist said, "The first thing you need to do is stop whispering because you're training your brain. That is your speaking voice." So for anybody who has this condition or thinks they have it, definitely get checked out. Don't whisper. And I just ask people, if you can't hear me, I'm happy to repeat, but we might just need to move on to another topic if you can't hear me.
That is so interesting. So I once when I had laryngitis, when I was young, but the doctor was like, don't whisper this, like, so, but I think it
Yes,
was a
I had
different
no
reason.
idea.
I think it was a different reason, though. I mean, and I could be, and my memory could be flawed with this. But I believe he just was like, that stresses your throat even more. He's like, what you want to do is just rest and keep your, just don't talk. And I was like, that is really hard to do.
Especially for an extrovert.
That is really hard for me to do, but I will do my best. All right. So, thinking back to this transition, which you're very composed and very upbeat about it now, but I can imagine that there were parts of this that were pretty emotional to go through. When I talk to people about choices and changes, right? There's a broad line I can draw, which is like things we choose and things that we have to respond to that kind of happened to us, right? And you did not wake up and say, hey, you know what I'd like to do today is lose my voice and develop some spasms in my vocal cords. What, let's talk about what kind of support you had and what kind of support maybe you wish you had had.
Right when it happened, I just wasn't like denial. I was depressed. I kind of cocooned. It is somebody who's more of an introvert that I think is typical behavior.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to connect with people. And it was it was just really, really rough. And the doctors that I saw, because I saw two doctors, they said, hey, here's a support group for people with spasmodic dysphonia in the Los Angeles area.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, they're all over the world. And my reaction to that was, I don't want to be in a support group. I'm
Okay.
going to kick this thing. I didn't want to acknowledge it at all. And so, for a good portion of 2023, I just lived in whispering misery. I did not stop my podcast. And because I had done so many summits, I literally have hundreds of interviews that I could pull from. So, I did that here and there so I wouldn't have to do, record every week. And I finally broke down and joined the support group for spasmodic dysphonia in LA. And that has been really helpful to be part of a group who gets it.
Yeah.
And since then, I found another group called Vocal Freedom Program with Jim Bostock. I think that's how you say his name. And his program was all about spasmodic dysphonia, muscle tension dysphonia, other voice dystonias. And I went through his program, and that was super helpful. And I wish I would have known whispering was bad. Just,
Sure.
I wish I would have known that. And I wish I would have started vocal therapy from the beginning because I mean, I know that our thoughts really impact how we behave, but I did not think that whispering was going to screw me up this bad with my voice and drain it to just, be my speaking voice so that I wish I would have done sooner.
Yeah, no, I can see all of those things. I think that the resistance to joining a support group is a really interesting thing that I'll sort of lead the conversation that way. I think it's common. I mean, that's not the right word, but I think that I've talked to many, many people, right? Especially when it's an experience that you don't want to be going through. I think that people sometimes they see that joining the group is like I don't know, you can I don't want to put words in your throat, but you can draw, you can sort of try and explain it in your own things. It's like they feel like it's resigning themselves and giving up.
I'm defeated.
Yeah, I'm defeated.
I
This is who I
have
am now.
this.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
100%.
And there's a part of, when something happens to us, there's a part of us where we decide, well, okay, is this who I am now? How much am I going to let this define me? And so, and it's it can be a tight line to a tight the tight rope walk
Yes,
to figure out
yes.
like what, but and on the flip side, right? The amazing thing, right? And also, let's just throw it out there. There's some crappy groups out there, right? Like I think
Yeah.
we've all been through experiences, not necessarily support groups, they can be social groups or
Yes.
whatever, but we've all been in a situation where you walk into a group and you're like, oh, well, wait a minute. No, I don't
Yeah.
actually want to be here. Reverse, back away slowly,
Exit.
exit. But when you find a good group for whatever it might be, then it can be a really helpful freeing things. And that can happen with hobbies, like you find somebody who shares a hobby with you, so you can talk to them about your hobby and not annoy people who don't care. Or when you find something that is hard and is a challenge, and you're
Yes.
trying to navigate it. And so I think it's beautiful that you were. So we live in an amazing time, right? You can connect with people. We can connect you and I are on different sides of the continent, and we're connecting over this fabulous platform.
Yes.
So we can find people who, it's an amazing thing that we can do that. But also, it means that, but it is still very lucky that you had a group that was right there, that you had a doctor that was like, go talk to these people. And you could find people who are ahead of you in the journey and still kick
Yes.
in. Like, yeah, I think that's really lucky. What were the things, so other than that, what were the things that kept you, that made you push back against going and joining the group right away?
I think pretty much the biggest thing was just identifying as a person who couldn't speak.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed because that was also my identity as a podcaster,
Yeah,
as a
right.
coach, as a facilitator. Like, speaking in front of groups is not an issue for me. I had to do it in my corporate days. I love in-person energy. So I was not afraid to speak during that event. That actually gives me life and vitality. But then for nothing to come out, I was like, what is going on? Universe is speaking to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So then, all right. So like the whole theme for the things I do is like the choices and changes and how they impact our life, right? And so at the beginning, it sounds like, oh, this is a change in my voice, and this is a condition I'm
Yes.
diagnosed with. But when we peel it back, this is actually a redefinition of your identity statement. Before
Yes.
this happened, you saw yourself as a person who used her voice in a position of power. It was a part of your identity. And this change put you in a spot where you had to reflect on, okay, who am I now? What does this mean for who I am? I think if I was to
Yes.
say that we as a culture do a big disservice to the youth of the youth of our people, or however those words should go together, because that's not like I put them together, but it's that we don't prepare people for the fact that we're going to do this a bunch of different times as we grow older, right? So,
Yes.
and the first several people walk you through. So it's like you're a kid and then you go to middle school, they bridge you there. I'm in high school, I'm going to go to college. If you're following the path that everybody tells you to, they bridge you that way, right? Then you graduate from your college degree and they're like, wow, there you go, done.
Done.
Good luck with you.
Right. Yeah.
Good luck to you. And no one ever tells you how to
Figured
do any of the other, right? Nobody ever
out.
tells you how to do it again. And so then
Yeah.
you have all those adult transitions where you go from like, single to paired up to not paired up anymore, like divorce, whatever. Not a parent to being a parent if you do that, or a step parent or foster parent or whatever.
Yes.
Working to entrepreneur, working to all of those on your own.
Yes.
Got to figure it out. So I think that but it is, those are really tough transitions when you come into the position where it's like, okay, who am I now? That is a really, really tough transition. And the ones that the stories we see where people actually are publicly going through it are actually celebrities, right? So like sports people who
Yes.
retire,
Yep.
and celebrities who decide to not be celeb, which doesn't happen all that often, but when it does, those are the only times where they see
Right.
people like, hey, I'm making a change. This is no longer who I am. And but that's so that's really what you found yourself going through. It's like, what does this mean for me,
Yes.
Clarissa?
Yeah. And I do think when these things happen to us, there's something going on energetically. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, what am I saying? So once I got out of my depression of like, oh my God, I have lost my voice. I feel like I'm losing an identity. The truth also was I was starting to not feel connected to the work that I was doing before
Okay.
then. So, that is part of this story too. And I grew up, in the 70s and the 80s. And I don't have kids, so I don't know how much of this is different, but I really felt like I had to be a good daughter. I had to follow what my parents said. I had to go to college. I had to go in and do something that would make them proud.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time like doing things for other people's approval. And I even think starting up my business, and the truth is you don't know what you don't know. You just have to start. And so I just picked a niche, followed my coach's advice, which was great advice. But what I neglected to do was really take that time to ask myself, well, what does Clarissa really want to do?
Okay.
And so with this whole vocal thing, that really was an opportunity. Like, I just felt like the universe was like, you are being squashed. You need to just stop. It is time to reconnect with yourself. And that's really what the very end of 2023 and all throughout 2024, I let go of all my preconceived notions of what I should be doing as an entrepreneur. I went back and I do vision boards every year, or I journal a lot. And I sat with that question. I said, what am I not saying? What am I not doing? Who am I not being? And the truth is, I'm an artist, I'm a creative, and I just kind of put that on the back burner. So that work, doing things creative, has really been part of the work that I'm stepping into. So last year, I did a lot of different experiments. And if I could do it all over again, this is where I would have started.
But like you said, you didn't know what you didn't know. And
Exactly.
that's always true. My least favorite thing that people will say to other people is, oh, well, you should have known. And I'm like, this is never true. Like, this is
Yeah.
never, ever true. Like, nobody ever knows what's coming.
It.
I mean, I'm sure there's some exception to that, that sometimes there are people. But the, so that is really interesting. So you can, okay, so what kind of coaching, what kind of transformational coaching were you doing before you shifted? Was it like business type?
Helping people leave their 9 to 5 to start their own
Help,
thing,
which is what you had done. You
which
were
is what I had done.
right, super common. Your
Yes.
own first client.
Right.
Yes, exactly. We teach from our experience. I love it. Absolutely love it. And now you have transitioned into something which is more creatively based. And you did that. I have a
Yes.
question unrelated to what I was just talking about, but it popped into
Okay.
my brain. When you do vision boards, do you like still go out and buy like, 10 or 11 magazines and put it together? Or how are you doing this? What is the
How am I
modern
doing
version
that?
of this?
Yes. So I still like the traditional.
Because
Like,
magazines are expensive these days.
I actually have my vision board here. I'll just share it with you. This
Ooh,
is from
very
last
pretty.
year. So, okay. So, funny story. I pitched myself to do a vision board event for 100 people. And
Okay.
I haven't done that. I hadn't done that before. So I was like, Oh crap, I need to get magazines. Well, like you said earlier, the beauty of modern day living is we have all these platforms, we have all these technologies. So I simply put a post out on Facebook in a couple different places and I said, hey, I'm potentially leading a 100-person vision board workshop. Is anybody getting rid of magazines?
Oh, I forgot to
And
ask you.
people responded like I got an overwhelming support because you're right, magazines are not cheap.
Other than the dentist office,
They're,
I like never see
yeah.
them anymore. You know, everything, every magazine I get
Yes.
is a digital thing. And
Yes.
so yeah, so I was curious about that. All I get these days, I get catalogs still. I get a couple of
I
catalogs
still
months.
do too. Oh.
My favorite catalog is from Restoration Hardware. I think I in the last 25
Yes.
years, I think I bought like one $4 doorknob from Restoration Hardware, but they send me a 250-page beautiful catalog twice a year, and
Yes.
I'm very thankful for it. It's very
Yep.
pretty. It's a very pretty thing. I'd love to speak to their marketing department about their budget. The All right, so we're going to wrap up this interview, but before we do, we've talked a lot about the things that you're doing, and I want to give you a chance to tell the listeners how to connect with you a little bit about as much as you want about the business you're doing these days, and I know you have a podcast that you want to share.
Yes, so the work that I'm doing more is geared to self-expression. I still love helping people like do the things they think they can't do, but it's not necessarily about leaving your job to go start your own business. So a lot of creative workshops, just painting, journaling, having discussions. To tap back into yourself, because I think in this go-go-go society, having quiet type of events where people can reflect, I think there's a need for that. So that's more of what my work is, and I'm particularly wanting to support women who are in midlife and beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are my people. And I do have a podcast called Painting Your Path. And it's all about creating life on your terms.
Very cool. So the link to the podcast will be in the show notes if you're listening on a podcast platform, but also if you're subscribed to the Imperfect Adulting newsletter, the email community, I put that link in there, and that's the easiest way to get that. Because then you can just click on it, and it's
Yes.
great. That's the way to do it. All right, so. Now, I'm going to ask you three questions.
Okay.
These are supposed to be rapid fire. It's not a challenge. They're just for fun. The idea is that you'll answer in just a few short words, and probably you're
Sure.
going to be very, I have high expectations. You'll be better at this than I am. Brevity is not my strength.
Oh,
Are you a late night snacker? And if you are, what's your favorite late night snack?
my gosh. Well, guilty. And last night, my husband and I had popcorn.
Popcorn.
Buttered popcorn. Yes.
Microwave or like made on this
Microwave.
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 Microwave. You know, my thing with popcorn is that I love it, and it's delicious. And also I find myself flossing for like, you know, I mean, I'm a
Days.
daily flosser, but like
Yeah.
after I eat popcorn, I am like every few hours, I'm like, oh my God, what is this?
There's
So
another one. Yep,
exactly.
those
Exactly.
curdles.
I'm not entirely sure that it's worth it. All right, do you have an all-time favorite book or author, like from your whole life, that you could call out and share?
Gosh, such a great question. So here's who popped in my head, Julia Cameron. She
Oh,
wrote The
The Artist's
Artist's
Way.
Way. Yeah, and she has
Very
so
good.
many other books that are great too, but I go back to that one pretty often.
Do you do morning pages?
I'm not consistent,
Okay, so
but
do you do the
it,
artist date?
yeah.
Yeah, I do that. I pull out the
Yeah.
artist date when I feel like I'm hamster on a hamster wheel, when I can't
Yes.
I'm like, you know what? I need to clear an afternoon and just go
And get
be and be
out.
free and do
Yes.
something arty. So yeah. All right, third, I was that was like such an intriguing idea. My mind was like, let's do that again. If somebody offered you a free luxury vacation, like all expenses paid, all the bells and whistles, things like that. And your choice was, they gave you a choice of two things, wintry mountain destination or sunny beachy paradise. Which do you choose?
Sunny beachy paradise.
There you go. There you go.
Thank
That's it, Clarissa. This has been a wonderful chat. Thank you for being a guest.
you for having me, Amy. This was fun.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.